This is KHOL News. I'm Robin Vincent. A contested parcel of land that may or may not help soften the housing crisis remains in question. The Teton County Planning Commission made a recommendation Monday about the Gill family's proposal to rezone 74 acres of land in northern South Park. The Planning Commission's recommendation is that Teton County commissioners should deny the Gill's current plan. The Gill family wants to use the land, currently zoned for rural use, to build more than 300 residential lots. In a town with an endless housing crisis, this might seem like a no-brainer, but some community advocates have strong reservations. Under the Gill family's current proposal, opponents say homes in that location will likely be unaffordable for Jackson's working class. To keep the lots affordable, planning commissioners called for a neighborhood planning process. Planning Commissioner Alex Muramsev says there are too many unknowns for him to recommend the plan as is.
I'm a ski patroller in the winter at Snow King, and one of the basic mantras when you're responding to an incident is go slow to go fast. And so I would like to, despite the urgency that has been presented by the applicant, I think if we rush into this, we actually could create a lot of problems and really delay what could be a wonderful asset for the community. So I would prefer going through a neighborhood planning process. And certainly we all know the urgency, and I certainly believe that the BCC knows the urgency of getting the neighborhood planning process done. As Commissioner Mattiaski pointed out, we cannot afford to have this drag on and look for perfect. But there are a lot of key issues that I believe we just need more detail on.
Now, the commission's vote is merely a recommendation. The Board of Teton County Commissioners will have the final say. They'll meet on September 14th to review the Gill's proposal. It seems that everywhere you look in the West, there's a fire. That includes Yellowstone. The Lone Star Forest fire in the nation's first national park has affected access within the park's boundaries. The Grand Loop Road between Old Faithful and West Thumb Junction is closed. Trails and campsites in the Shoshone Lake and Lone Star Geyser area are also closed. According to InsaWeb, the lightning-caused fire is spread across more than 820 acres of land. As of Wednesday, 38 fire personnel had been dispatched to attend to the fire. Fire activity is high across the American West. Fire managers rate the nation's fire activity at a level 5. That's the highest level of fire incidents and signals the greatest need for resources. Fire managers are urging the public to do their part. Fires are prohibited in backcountry areas, in the parks, and on forest land here. Meanwhile, Teton County enacted partial fire restrictions this week. Open fires are prohibited in the county until further notice. Fire Chief Brady Hansen asked Teton County commissioners to vote on such a restriction. Fire Marshal Kathy Clay supported the move. She says the restriction is meant to preserve local fire resources. They're already strained, she says, due to afternoon lightning storms that have ignited fires. National firefighting resources, meanwhile, are of even greater concern given the number of fires burning in the West. Agonizing. That's how Governor Mark Gordon described $250 million in state budget cuts that he finalized Wednesday. Here he is during a press conference.
I think if you look at those, you will see that the specifics on those cuts are going to be devastating. But as governor, I am constitutionally required to balance the budget, and they are necessary.
A third of Wyoming's revenue has evaporated due to the COVID-19 pandemic and a downturn in the energy industry. The governor says his administration has been working for the last 2 months to finalize this round of reductions.
And they're very difficult cuts to announce. They amount to phase two. Phase one, of course, was when we halted all new hires and all new major contracts. Phase two is the first 10% cuts. Phase three will be an additional 10% cut. And then, as I've said before and repeat over and over again, phase three, because if you remember, we lost a third of our income. 10 and 10 is 20. That's not 30%. That third 10% is going to come with the work of the legislature, which is going to need to say, what are the things that we have asked you to do that we no longer think you can do?
Gordon says these cuts will be devastating because they'll largely impact vulnerable populations. For example, reductions to the Wyoming Department of Health will affect low-income residents, seniors, and people with developmental disabilities. That means funding is drying up for programs that assist seniors with at-home care and programs for low-income children who need vaccinations. Early childhood and developmental programs will also be impacted. These are just a few examples, and they're all severe, Gordon says.
Each of these is an agonizing choice. None of these has come easy, nor are these being put out as some sort of political statement. These are the cuts that we've had to make, and there are more coming.
Wyoming Department of Corrections and University of Wyoming are also facing steep budget cuts. This is in addition to reductions to state employees. The governor noted that 10% less people already work for the state than did a decade ago. Now, Gordon is asking school districts across the state to examine their budgets and come up with a 10% reduction. Jackson Police Department saw a lot of turmoil last week, and new reporting reveals potential systemic problems at the department. The rocky week began when police supporters showed up to town hall last Monday for a rally under false pretenses. They were there to protest police defunding, but that item was not on town council's agenda. Chief of Police Todd Smith helped spread the rumor. And then, that same week, he retired and Michelle Weber stepped into the role of acting chief of police. Meanwhile, Lieutenant Roger Schultz resigned over a police blotter post that made light of a potential incident of statutory rape. Mayor Pete Muldoon says that post signaled a larger problem with the police department. Here he is speaking to KHOL last week.
I think this post is outrageous. It's trivializing and making light of a child who was alleged to be raped. That has no place in our organization or in a department that whose mission it is to serve the public and to be able to provide justice for victims of these crimes. I don't view it as a mistake. A mistake is when you drop a hammer on your foot or something. It's indicative of a cultural issue at the police department, a problem at the police department.
Weber, for her part, issued an apology and provided multiple ways she's addressing the issue with her officers. They included strengthening the police's work with the community safety network and undergoing implicit bias training, just to name a few. Meanwhile, some have argued the blotter post was just one incident and doesn't reflect the department's culture. However, that's where this new reporting comes in from the Jackson Hole News and Guide. It suggests otherwise. A story written by Emily Muir looked at court documents from a former female Jackson police officer. The officer alleges she didn't finish her 2-year contract because of the harassment and misogyny she faced at the department. She says she endured sexual harassment from her colleagues and a supervisor. Court documents corroborate this. They show images of inappropriate text messages from her supervisor. She also claims Schultz humiliated her, calling her a lesbian in front of other officers. Now, Jackson policing is likely to remain under the microscope for the foreseeable future. I'm Robin Vincent. This is KHOL News.